Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. Hope you're doing well today. I know some of you are really struggling, and that can't be good. And so we wanted to just take a minute and pray for folks, if we could. Joining me today, Dr. Sherry Keffer. Sherry, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Except I can't hear Sherry. We're having just all sorts of difficulties that you might be having there also. And we've got a really special, I got to tell you, a special guest today, Gary Chapman. And so we'll try to get all of our technical stuff worked out as soon as we can, because you're going to love it. It's all about blended families. And so we'll have him on in just a little bit. But let me pray for you in case you are struggling with this weather. We've got people, no heat in their home, no heat at work, and it is just horrible out there. So if that's you, let me just pray for you. Lord, I know this is not a good time for a lot of people, and we ask your blessing on them and comfort them and be with them, and we just pray that people will find some way to get warm any way they possibly can. And we ask your blessing upon everybody that's listening, and may this be a day where people turn to you in time of need. And we're so thankful that they're listening to us today. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, I don't have any idea who's in California, but I believe Sherry's there. Aren't you, Sherry, there?
I am. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Yeah, I have been getting texts and pictures from some of my friends in Texas. I mean, they have not had heat since yesterday, some of them, and some of them even longer.
Yeah, can you believe it? Oh, my goodness.
Pipes are bursting, and they can't get to their parents, their elderly. I mean, it's just... So thanks for praying, Steve. You know, we do care about... We love you all. And when there are pockets of this country that are struggling, we are feeling it with you.
Yeah. Well, after we go this break, we're going to come back, and you're just going to love our guest today, because... I don't know of anybody that has a book that's impacted, helped, and provided more insight than this book by Gary Chapman. He wrote the Love Language book and the Five Love Languages, which is just an amazing book. And now we're going to be talking about building love together in blended families. And there are so many blended families. And my attitude has always been, which is true, it's usually not a very good idea. And that just may sound like a bad attitude. But when you look at what happens in these families, a lot of the kids feel like it's a hostile takeover or a hostage situation. And the parents, they're in love and they don't really see what's going on here. But here's a great book, Building Love Together, in the blended family, and we're going to talk about that and hope that it'll provide some help and hope. We'll take your calls at 1-800-229-3000, 1-800-229-3000. So you come join us for New Life Live. And if you want a copy of this, Building Love Together in Blended Families, well, I think you could just get it by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And, you know, we had Ron Deal on, who's the co-author here. But what a privilege to have Dr. Chapman on, And we'll get to him right after this. First question is going to be, what's the most important thing for people to do before they blend a family? Everybody ought to know that, don't you think? We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Yeah, we're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad that you're with us today, Dr. Sherry Keffer, and our very, very special guest, Dr. Gary Chapman. And Dr. Chapman, how are you doing today? Are you in bad weather or good?
Well, I'm in North Carolina. We have rain, but we don't have snow. We don't have ice, so we're blessed. We're fine. We can take the rain.
Okay. Well, I know that you're prepared for rain there, and you know, some of these other places, unlike here in Indy, they're just not ready for it. And I'll tell you, it's not good. But I have a bad attitude. I'm in a blended family, and it has just gone so well because we knew a few things before we blended it. But I have a bad attitude about most blended families because people don't prepare for it. So what do you say if we're truly going to do something and build love together? What's the most important thing for a person to do before they blend a family?
Well, I think taking time to be realistic about blended families. And I think many folks jump into a blended family thinking this is going to just be wonderful because we're in love with each other and everything's going to be fine. Yeah. And they don't understand that it takes time for a family to blend. Mm-hmm. So preparation would be reading books like this book and others that are written on blended families to get a realistic picture of what you're going to face. Otherwise, you're going to be really discouraged in the early stages of things, I'm afraid, especially when there's stepchildren involved.
That's right.
You know, Gary, it's so interesting. We spend so much time, right, with that love affection that we have. I mean, we study them. We think about what they might like. We focus our energy on them. But what we don't do in blended families often is we don't really study the kids. We don't really find out, do they respond to quality time? Are they somebody that would really appreciate some words of affirmation? We give all that. We channel that towards the one we want to marry us. But if we would focus in on the five things, the things that you've written about, and really study those kids that potentially will be in our family, it could change a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. So,
well, it does, because our
go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say our deepest need as humans is the need to feel loved by the significant people in our lives. And so these stepchildren are going to be significant people in your life after you marry. And so learning how to effectively communicate love and meet that emotional need for love is a key issue, maybe the most important issue in bringing a family together, to have a sense of being family.
Yeah, I think that that's right. And, you know, a lot of times in so many areas of life, people have this attitude. It's just all going to work out fine. But as you know and write about, you know, the kids, just the disagreement over them, the friction, the pressure that's caused, I mean, it really does destroy so many relationships. Really, you'd have to say they would have worked out pretty well if they had done the prep work before they blended that family.
It's always amazed me that people spend far more time getting ready for their vocation than they do getting ready for their family, their marriage and family. That's true whether it's a first marriage or a second marriage.
Yeah,
maybe that's
right.
Why people do a better job at their vocation than they do in their marriage and family. But
true.
Yeah, I think looking at some of the dynamics in terms of blended families is really, really important. And we cannot assume that everything's just going to work out fine, because we're dealing with children who have a background. And they have connections, you know, either they have a parent that's still living or they have a parent that's deceased. But they have a bond to other people other than the step-parent that's coming in. So, yeah, everything you can learn beforehand is going to make it easier for you when you do establish a blended family.
Let's go to the negative, because I kind of have a bad attitude sometimes. What would be something you would say that would be maybe a reason not to blend that family, or to take, you know, step back, take a second look before you did it?
Well, obviously, I'm not going to tell people you should get married or you should not get married.
Yeah.
But I would say be aware of the red flags that are waving, and don't ignore the red flags that are waving. If, for example, your parents, and I know you're older now, you're in a second marriage or contemplating a second marriage or sometimes a third marriage, if your parents see things in the other person and see dynamics there that you don't see, don't just brush them off. You see, when we're in love, we tend to be colorblind.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
We don't see the things. You know, other people can see them. If your friends say to you, you know, now, have you considered this? And they share something that they've observed in the other person that you have not observed in the other person. You need to listen to them. You need to take it seriously,
yeah,
because they're likely seeing things you're not seeing. So to ignore those things, you're likely to jump into a marriage that really you should not have jumped into.
Yeah, and you know, if your parents or your friends are saying, you know, you're saying how great this person is, and they're saying, have you noticed that they carry an axe with them all the time? And then they might be an axe murderer, and you say, "Oh, I thought that was just their razor, what they used." No, that, I mean, you can just overlook some of the most obvious things. And if you don't have friends that can help you, and family, if you're just out there on your own, you're like one of these people, you'd rather be attached to something sick than not attached at all, and the kids are going to really pay the price for it.
And, you know, I have had occasions where I have said, you know, I've risked, and I said, don't do it. You know, in cases where the ink hasn't even dried on the divorce certificate, it's that rebound relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you're on a crash course. It's the very opposite from what you said, Gary, when you opened, which was it takes time to build a blended family.
Yeah, it does. And what I'd like to know, in your book, you give the 7 principles that take time. And I'm just wondering if we could talk about a couple of those principles that you think are really, really important. I know you think all 7 are important.
Yeah. Well, I think one is patience. You know, we've always said patience is a virtue. And I think in building a blended family, it's going to require patience on your part.
Mm-hmm.
Because your stepchildren are not necessarily going to respond to you the way you think they would respond. And if there's older children, older stepchildren, who maybe are very upset that their father or mother is even thinking about remarrying, and now they've married this person, and they don't like the idea, they will not warm up to you in a year.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
I was surprised when we did our research that, and what Ron Deal says, my co-author, that it takes from 5 to 7 years for a blended family to really blend,
mm-hmm,
and have a sense of familyness. So that requires patience. And I think as we go into this, we can't just assume that, you know, within a year, everybody's going to be loving each other and everything's going to be fine, because that's not likely true. If it happens, that's incredibly wonderful. But it's not likely to happen, because it takes time for, especially if there's children involved.
Mm-hmm.
I want to mention one thing you made me think of, Gary. So I have a blended family as well. And when Kyle and I were dating, our blended family started in the courtship. I didn't even meet Coleman till about 8 months in of dating Kyle, because we didn't want to connect us with his heart if we weren't serious, if there wasn't a good match. And so even waiting there to introduce him and to make it official, right? We met him and his grandparents at the same time. It was more of an honoring step than a quick step of trying to convince him that he should like me or I should like him.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's wise. because if it turned out that you didn't marry and you built a friendship with that stepchild, which would have been the stepchild, and now you pull back and now you're not there, they lost not only their mother, but now they've lost, you know, the second person that they thought loved them. So, yeah, I think it's always wise to hold off on becoming intimate with the children until the two of you decide this is really what God has for us. And you're far more likely to make a wise decision. You know, one of the other things in those seven principles is that remember that a committed marriage, that is the commitment and the quality of your marriage, is the best motivating factor to help your children warm up to each other and stepchildren warm up to others. And so that's why you have to make the marriage priority. Because there will be conflicts. There are conflicts in all marriages, but there will be conflicts in this blended family, and often those conflicts are over children. And sometimes we end up putting our children in a place of priority, and it splits our marriage. It drives us apart. So we have to make marriage the priority. That doesn't mean we're going to ignore the children. No, no, no. But it does mean we have to see our relationship as being a priority. And it's the best thing we can do for our children, to give them a model of a mom and dad who love each other, who are supportive of each other, who listen to each other, and who process life together. That model is super important.
All right. Well, I'm so grateful that you're with us. We've got some calls that are calling in here, and I'll just encourage you to call us, 1-800-229-3000. Why don't we go to Darlene, see what is on the heart of Darlene, St. Mary County, Maryland, listening on WAVA. Darlene, you're on. How are you today?
Hi. I'm doing okay. My heart's bruised. I lost my husband December 2018, 34 years suddenly. Our marriage wasn't the greatest. He chose to exit the marriage in our bedroom about 10 years prior, but I honored my wedding vows, and I have three grown children, and I've been dating somebody for a year now, and they pretty much gave me an ultimatum. I was close with my children. I have a fourth grandchild on the way. I'm 57, and my boyfriend is 58. We are both in love. Taking it one step at a time, but this has been a big struggle to me, that none of my children want to even meet him. And last summer, they basically gave me somewhat of an ultimatum and won't let me see my grandchildren, and, you know, it's very hurtful.
Now, did he give you the ultimatum also, and then your kids have given you an ultimatum? Is that, or was that, did I mishear that?
My kids last summer, my son did not come around for a year after my husband died. He's 34 mm-hmm. years old, and he pretty much said, you know, you've been on dad's grave, you're this, you're that, and my boyfriend is not, he's been strong, you know. We're both God-fearing people and want to do the right thing, and we've talked about it. We don't want to end the relationship because we are very compatible.
Okay. And so what is the question for us? What's the question for us and Dr. Chapman here? How could we help you?
The question would be, at what point? My kids right now probably think that I'm choosing him over them, but they're grown. They have their own lives, good jobs, good marriages. I raise them well. But they think that I'm this terrible person. How could I do this?
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't sat down to talk to me, but they ignore me.
Yeah.
And I just, at what point do I say, okay, this is my life? Because I'm hurt. I'm very hurt. But I don't want to give up the relationship because I didn't have the greatest marriage.
Okay.
I didn't have,
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to get some insight. We'll hear Dr. Sherry Keffer, Dr. Gary Chapman, and I hope that this is going to be a blessing to you here. It's a wonderful book. We had Ron Deal on, the co-author, Building Love Together in Blended Families. That is the name of the book. And, of course, Dr. Gary Chapman's the author of The Five Love Languages. And, oh, my goodness, how many people that has helped. But we'll see if we can provide some help, some hope, and some insight here to Darlene right after this. 1-800-229-3000.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back and really glad you're with us here today. We're talking with Darlene, and Dr. Gary Chapman is our special guest today. And as you know, we don't have a lot of special guests because a lot of people are not special enough to be our guest. It just has to be really important for us to want to have somebody other than our normal folks on. And this is an important book, and it could really save you a lot of pain and struggle. But here's Darlene and her kid. She says, I raised great kids, but they're saying, you're not, if you hang out with this guy, even though you didn't have a great relationship with dad, we're not going to let you see your grandkids. That's just horrible. So, Darlene, you still there?
Yes.
Okay. So, Dr. Chapman, what do you think here? What would you advise her to do if she came into your place and just sat down and said, here's the deal?
I think one of the things I would say is, would you give me permission to call your children and talk with them?
That's really good.
You know, because she's saying they're ignoring her. They won't talk to her. So she can't ask them the questions I would like to ask them. And that is, why? Why do you feel this way about your mother and this man? Do they know some things about him that she doesn't know? Or is it simply that they're still grieving? Because I'm not sure exactly when her husband died, but, you know, we're told it takes about 2 years after the death of a spouse for us to get back on level ground emotionally, having processing the grief. And they may still be processing the grief of the loss of their father. And here they see you just walking out of the scene, you know, in their mind, you're just leaving dad and you're going to somebody else so quick. Why would you do that so quickly? So I'd like to know what their real heart is, you know, what the real reason is. And once I knew that, I can maybe help her understand why they're responding and feeling the way they are. Now, if they're open to her, she could ask those questions of them. You know, explain to me and listen to them. Don't brush them off. Listen to their reasons as to why they're feeling this way. Now, ultimately, of course, Darlene, you have to make the decision that you believe God wants you to make. But I think you need to do everything you can to keep the lines of communication open with your children. And they're making a pretty serious threat there. And if it, you know, all other things being equal, it's very unfair of them, ultimately, to make that kind of decision that they're not going to let you see the grandchildren simply because you're going to be involved with someone else. So, yeah, but you may have to make a choice somewhere along the line. But the more you can do to talk with them about it and find out why and have some good communication, the more likely you can find some resolution to this.
Sherry, what do you think?
Yeah. My oldest son just refuses to have anything. I reach out to him since last August, and he won't respond back to me. Nothing. But I think what it is because my son was gone for 13 years, and he told me he didn't know that Dad and I were in separate rooms, and Dad didn't want to be, you know, he didn't know, and he felt I should have told him. And I'm like, that's my business, you know, but I just feel like kids grieve differently than spouses, and they're putting their grief on the level of where I should be.
So can I jump in? Can I jump in with you a little bit, Darlene? Because I'm going to risk with you a little bit. I think having your spouse move to another bathroom, a bedroom, for a decade. He moved to another bedroom. That had to be incredibly painful. That had to hurt your heart. You probably wondered, what is he doing in there? Why doesn't he want to be with me? And yet, as you told us, you kept your vow. But because of the hurt and the wound that you felt when he exited the bedroom and the confusion around that, in a marriage, what that can breed is hurt, resentment, contempt, fear, a lot of things. So when he actually passed away, there must have been some element of relief for the pain that you felt every day when you went to bed. Now,
I had really thought and forgiven. You know, I had.
But let me challenge you. Let me challenge you. When a son says that you spit on his dad's grave, there might be some blind spots that you have that you don't even know are there. There can be, we can say we forgive, but we might have some resentment and some hurt and some contempt over the one that hurt us. And I think your kids are picking up on some anger that they feel from you. When a son comes and says, "Hey, I would have liked for you to tell me that," when you responded with, "Well, that's none of your business," how do you think he felt? Did he feel closer towards you or further away from you?
I really did say it viciously. I was protecting myself because they were ganging up on me, but I said, "You were gone, and when I would visit you in North Carolina, I wasn't going to tell you negative about my marriage with your dad."
But you know what you're doing, and I want you to hang on to me. You're defending. And when we defend and we are trying to protect ourselves, we're not coming with a vulnerable heart. We're not coming in the spirit of openness. Kind of like Gary said, he'd love to hear their hearts, because you got to mend the fence with your kids before you can even build a fence around the man you're in love with.
We'll take a break. Come right back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and before we go to the next call, I want to finish up with Darlene there. Dr. Keffer, what else does she need to be looking at a little bit here?
Well, hey, Darlene, I want to give you 3 things to focus on. And you might get off this phone and you might feel a little confused or shell-shocked with me and what I'm picking up on. But I care about your heart. I know what it feels like to have a husband who's disconnected in the marriage bed. And I also know what it's like to fall in love again. And I want the best for you, which means connecting with your kids first, hearing their hearts. So I want you to meet with somebody, a counselor, and I want you to take a look at what the first thing is. Look at the hurt that happened in that last 10 years. I want you to challenge the notion of forgiveness, because I'm picking up on some bitterness, some anger. And then I want you, the second thing is to do some of your own work in letting that go in a deeper way than you've done so far. The third thing is I want to take Gary's counsel. I want you to sit down, I want you to get in with a family therapist And I want you to tell your kids, I want you guys to know, I am committed to you guys, and I want to heal your heart. I think I did some things wrong after the loss of your dad, and I need to repair with you. I want to. You're important to me. I'm going to pause my relationship. Doesn't mean you have to stop seeing him, but you say, I'm going to put a pause on future plans because you're important to me, and I want to spend some sessions with you hearing your heart and what you're concerned about. Because I want to close and well, and I didn't. And I want to start a future with you guys positive, and I'm not. So I need your help.
I think that's the way to go. And I'm, Darlene, I'm really glad that you called. I'm gonna just send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. I hope that that will be helpful to you. And then I'm going to send this book by Dr. Chapman because, you know, this is an example of your kids may be grown, adult, and out of the house. They're still kids, and sometimes they're still functioning like children, and they're hurt, and they haven't finished the grieving. And when Dr. Chapman struck out there with his first principle of patience, I think that's what you're calling her to, Sherry, is to literally be patient and do the right thing before this thing gets any worse. All right, 1-800-229-3000. Before we go to the next call, Dr. Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio with us. And Dr. Larry, you and I, we were on an amazing event.
Yeah, we were.
Our marriage workshop, 160 people there. And we heard about some miracles taking place on Saturday.
Yeah, it doesn't get better than that. I'm just so proud of this ministry, and it's, I love seeing what God is doing and how Holy Spirit comes into those groups, and people share that they what they never thought they would share, and it makes a difference. And so we got another workshop coming up a week from Saturday. It's called Restore. And real briefly, testimony. I was not excited to attend this workshop. I have so much social anxiety and dreaded having to talk with strangers in general, let alone about my deepest, darkest pain. For the first time since my life crumbled into pieces, I feel validated and understood. Words can't express how truly amazing that feels. This workshop helped me figure out where I'm stuck and that I still have so much to grieve. I've had lots of lies ingrained in my brain, and this has shown me that there are so many more lies than I thought were there that I need to work out. But I'm excited to have God help me with those things. I'm now equipped to process my anger and stick up for myself. So,
yep,
twofold,
that's what happens.
Ladies, if you, I know you need it. You know you need it. Give us a call at 800 New Life. Let us get you into this workshop. If money's an issue, tell us you need a scholarship. We do not want money ever to cause somebody not to come. And folks, you're listening. You hear and see what God is doing through this ministry. Please support it. Make a gift today. Join Club New Life. Whatever you can do, we'd appreciate it.
We really would. And, you know, we've been so blessed. And just to be able to have Dr. Chapman on with this wonderful book, to me, is one of the greatest blessings ever. And if you want a copy of it, you call us, and I'll send you a copy, whatever gift you can give us, or you can order it, whichever one it is, because there's tremendous, tremendous wisdom here. Let's do. Let's go to Liz from Napa, Idaho. KBXL is the station. And Liz, you're on with Dr. Sherry Keffer and Gary Chapman, the author of this wonderful book on blending families and getting them back together and building love in a blended family. How can we help you today?
Well, we do have that book because our children are going through a similar situation. So thank you very much for that.
Good.
My question is, you're welcome. My question is, where and how can I find some relief? I have had many losses. I've had a husband that recently died. I had a son that died. I am newly married about 2 years. I think much like the gentleman mentioned, I probably jumped into that too early. But I have realized now, I guess it just hit me like a brick wall that I'm losing also my current marriage. My husband has prostate cancer, so we're now a bit estranged sexually. He, you know, has that going on. I had thought about getting a dog because I've had dogs prior to this marriage. And then I got to thinking, I would be harangued. I would be told how to have the dog. And I realized that I do not trust him. And I realize it's a loss that is compounded on all these other losses. And I feel raw and wounded.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we hear that, and we're sorry for that hurt and that pain. Dr. Chapman, what do you say here? I mean, obviously things have not gone well here. Go ahead, Sherry. I don't know if he's...
Yeah, so let me just jump in. First off, I am so sorry, Liz, at the amount of loss you've had with your son and then your husband, your former husband. And now there's a loss even in the prostate cancer. My thought to you, and I guess... what I heard you say is you may have stepped in too quickly, like we talked about earlier, to your marriage now. But the bigger issue that I'm hearing is control. That maybe you didn't see that your current husband might have some stronger tendencies to control. Or when you said harangue, what do you mean by that with the dog? If you were to ask for that, it wouldn't go well. Like, as if you've kind of lost a part of yourself in this second marriage.
Yes, truly. I throughout the 2 years, we've built a home. I have asked for certain things. I don't ask for a lot. But then he's very much a perfectionist, and like you say, I didn't really think of it as control. However, when I think about having a dog, I would be told how to train it, how to love it, it just would not be what I would give him. He shines people on and then has different viewpoints. He does that with his children.
I'm sure there are a lot of areas that have just been a major disappointment to you there.
But this is what can happen early on, is we can begin to focus our disappointment on him instead of, my dear, what is going to be your number one task is, one, grieving what you can't have, which is very different, but two, truly learning how to hold on to yourself, how to be able to say to him, I can appreciate that you would want to tell me how to train the dog, but you know what? I'm going to take some classes and I'm going to get a trainer and I'm going to figure out how to do it on my own, because that's important that I learn how to do this since I'm going to be working with the dog. Do you see how that's about you and not about how he can squish you?
We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and I'll send this wonderful book, Building Love Together in Blended Families. It is by Dr. Gary Chapman, and Ron Deal's the co-author. And before we go to another call, Dr. Chapman, you mentioned five P's of step-parenting. And one of them, of course, is this P of pace. You know, my sense is that this wouldn't just be a great book for blending families. It'd be blending two people. I mean, I think everybody ought to read it. We've got kids or not. But talk to us about this word pace a little bit.
Yeah, I think the word of pace, we're saying you have to pace yourself. This is particularly with the stepchildren.
Yeah.
You have to pace yourself as you seek to build a relationship with them. You know, we would like, as we move into a blended family, we would like just to embrace all the stepchildren. They embrace us, you know, just like it was a biological family. But the biological family was together for years, and this is a new person now. You're coming in as new, and they're new to you. And so you have to pace yourself, even with the love languages. And we discussed this pretty thoroughly in the book. Let's say you know the child's love language, and let's say it's physical touch. And you say, well, I'm going to love this child, and they're going to love me. I know their love language. I'm going to give them a hug. And so the first time you hug them, they push you away and say, don't do that. And you say, what's going on? Well, they're not quite ready for that yet. They don't know you. They have an emotional bond to a previous parent, and here you are coming in hugging them. That's very intimate, a hug. You might have to start with fist bumps. And
yeah.
Maybe fist bumps for 2 months.
Right.
And then a little pat on the shoulder. And it might be some months even before they will let you embrace them and they will respond to you. So you pace your response to them based on how they're responding to you and give them time to warm up to you. So it's a patience and pacing. They both go together.
Well, you know, we've said here many times, what a horrible mistake when you're thinking about marrying somebody who their attitude is, well, these kids better respect me, you know, I'm your husband or whatever, versus thinking that we need to earn the respect of these kids. And it just, you know, here's one more thing. If the person you're marrying isn't talking to his children, or her children at all, and you think you're going to have a great relationship with your children, it's not going to work. And, you know, before I got married, I saw how my wife had treated her boys. They'd already been through the Bible together and the Chronicles of Narnia by age 6. I mean, I was so impressed with that and the connection there that I thought, this is going to be a great woman for me and for my daughter. And that turned out to be true. But if you're just blind, you can really get into big trouble. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's take one more call here. And let's go to, how about we talk with Ann, see what Ann has to say here. We don't have a lot of time, Ann, but I did want to get to your phone call before we're finished. How can we help?
Thank you. I would like to know, I would like advice on what I can do to better show love to my son and his wife. They've been married about 8 years, and it's been quite a road. While they were dating for several years, she was like a totally different person to us. And after that, right before the wedding, oh my, she changed dramatically, including at the wedding. So I guess that they're doing fine, but the attitude that my son has toward my husband and me is horrible. It's getting worse. And I don't know, I figure we raise them the best we can, and then they have to be there on their own. So the problem is a growing distance between us and our son. And we've seen him like less than 5 minutes last March. They don't live far from us. And he used to be a very loving, compassionate, kind-hearted person. He cared about family, not just me. This isn't all about me. It's about even extended family. He does care about his sister.
This is really not good. Dr. Chapman, any insight here? There are people that literally do flip and make a radical change there. Any hope for her, what you would suggest that she do?
You know, if she has contact with him, obviously, it would be to acknowledge to him any failure she sees in the back of her life. You know, if she senses that there was failures along the way, apologize for that. Sometimes that is the first step.
Yes.
If she doesn't sense that, this may be a case of where, you know, he is loving his wife, and his wife doesn't like you all for whatever reason, and so he's sticking with his wife rather than sticking with you. So, I don't know.
Both but of my husband and the rest of his relatives, we went to, over a year ago, right before COVID shut down, we went to a wedding of his cousins. They're all the same age. And those two sat at a table completely apart from everybody else. And I went over, I invited them even after.
Yeah. Okay,
you know,
we understand it's not good. And there, we don't need any examples how bad it is. So what do you think? I mean, I think you're right here, Dr. Chapman. He's just said, I'm going with her. And I don't know if there's anything maybe you could think of here, Liz, that offended her. Was there any event that you could look back on and say, maybe I didn't handle this well? I mean, that's the first thing. Liz, is there anything like that you can think of?
Well, and let me jump in here. I'm not sure she can hear us, but, you know, I've seen cases like this where a woman like this may have grown up in a family where her love needs weren't met, where she didn't get what Dr. Chapman talks about, quality time, words of affirmation, touch. So she gets married to this young man, and that man becomes her host. It's like she's, you know, leeching on with love, and will just suck the love out of him. But that can feel so horrible and sad to the whole family system because you're watching it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it as sad as it may be, it may be a period of time before he wakes up and starts feeling tired, weary, and alone and seeks help for what's happening, but it may not happen until kids come around, right? Where this young lady has to divide her energies. I don't know, but we share in your loss. We are sorry about that.
We sure do.
Yeah.
I'll send you a copy of this book. And Dr. Chapman, thank you for being with us. I'm not a secret admirer of yours. I'm very open about it. And really appreciate the contribution that you've made to this world, and I hope and pray if people haven't read about those love languages, you would get a copy of the five love languages. Mine happens to be touch and more touch. But here's a great book, Building Love Together in Blended Families. And even if you don't have kids and you're thinking about getting together, this is a great book, Building Love Together in Blended Families. And if you're putting a family together and you have kids, you're trying to do this, and you don't, if you don't get this book, it's malpractice. That's what it is, because it's here. You can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and get a copy of it. And Dr. Chapman, I hope you feel the appreciation that we have for you, and that you have many more years of ministering to folks. And to all of you New Life listeners, thank you for listening to us. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Dr. Sherry and I will do another program right after this at 1-800-229-3000. You can join us. I hope you have a great day. Stay warm. We're praying for all you folks that it's really tough out there. We understand, and we pray the best. We pray for heat for you. God bless you. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.